Morning, SP. It's a red, yellow rainstorm, so no one's here, but let's open up in a word of prayer this morning. Father, Lord, Lord, we thank you in the days of sunshine. We thank you in the days when it's pouring down as well, Lord. Lord, you give and take away, Lord. You also bless, and you have grace flowing throughout from your throne. So, Lord, today we open up our morning. We open up this brand new day, however it may start, at your feet, Lord. And we just ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy. And we just ask for your Spirit to speak to us, to bless us, empower us, encourage us, God. So, Lord, we love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, it's been quite an interesting time in Hong Kong, and I know that you know there were a lot of churches who were fasting and praying for our city, and it's so amazing to see that. And I've just felt that this morning I really wanted to honor that, and also just talk a little bit about what one of my good friends was sharing with me the other day. And perhaps I'll start with reading something from Scripture. So this is from Ephesians 4. This is from the start of Ephesians 4, starting from verse 1. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And if I'm not mistaken, I think this verse is also used when we log into the One app before Lent. And, you know, a lot of sermons have been based on this passage as well. For me personally, this has been one of the most important verses in recent months because of the need for unity wherever it is, whether it's outside the church or even within the church. But as a Christian, I feel even more so in the church, because this is the command that we have in the Bible. And I feel that it is a glorious thing and a glorifying thing to God when we can really fulfill this commandment, when we can fulfill the scripture amongst our brothers and sisters, not just amongst our brothers and sisters, but also within churches ourselves. And I feel we must really endeavor to keep this unity, not just when bad things happen, not just when we are trying to overcome things, not just when we are fasting and praying, not just when it is Lent, but at all times. And I really wanted to continue this because I feel there may be a chance that we taper off, that we forget, and we go back into our shell, or we go back into our individual churches, and we forget about the importance of the unity in the church. And we were all created by Him. We are now born again as new creations, and we all belong to the same family. This is not new, but I think this is so important to remind ourselves and to live it out at the same time. I think that spiritual unity is not necessarily shown in these days in the best way. And I mean this in no way any criticism to any church or anything, but I think it's just food for thought. We have buildings where we congregate as in churches, you know, in the United States, in many parts of the world, churches are one whole building and people go into that building, and I think that's just normal and natural. But I think what happens is that as churches grow in numbers, there's this impetus to continue growing that church in the building, increasing in numbers, or to plant another church in the same name of that church, and to have a same, if you like, kind of congregation mix. And I think this is a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. But what I sometimes see happen is that the churches are about the growth of that one particular name, that one particular denomination, that one particular set of ways of worship or teaching. And I think that diversity is important, and I think that that is great, because every person might feel more comfortable in a different set of church settings. But what we can sometimes forget, whether we are part of a congregation or whether we are in leadership, is that there is an important part of every church. Every single church, however small or big in the city, plays such an important role in bringing Jesus to the lost, in bringing Jesus to the surroundings of that place. And I say this because in Hong Kong, at least, we know that there are obviously beautiful churches, there are rich churches, there are poor churches. There are churches in the outer parts of the city, the grassroots areas, which are struggling for resources, struggling for money, but also struggling because there's just one pastor, there's just not enough help. And I started this morning saying that I was talking to a friend the other day, and I wouldn't name the church or anything, but it was the first time I heard my friend saying that at their church, what they've been doing is to establish relationships with grassroots churches. And this came about very organically, but subsequently became very intentional. What I mean by that is that they started to get to know, even though they are an English-speaking church, they started to get to know the local community, not just the local community, and not just in ways of outreaching and serving the local community, but in fact doing something quite unique in my mind. It's the first time I've heard it. It's they serve the grassroots churches in that community. How do they serve? They serve by sometimes taking the place of the pastor if the pastor is not well, perhaps even going there to support the worship, or just to support to make sure that the services on Sunday can still run, notwithstanding that there may be lack of resources. And I felt that was quite a powerful thing. In fact, as I was talking to my friend, I started choking up. I started breaking down, in fact. I couldn't finish most of my sentences because I really felt that that was the display of unity in the church, which I've never heard of, I've never seen. And it might be due to my own ignorance because I've just not talked to enough people, and perhaps some of you might have heard the same thing, but I really wanted to bring this message to a broader audience to just say, this is such a beautiful thing that I've discovered a church doing, a church supporting other churches. And I think this brings us back to the importance of the spiritual unity that the Bible talks about, which is not necessarily recognized in a structural unity or denominational unity. It's very evident in the quick fellowship of people, you know, regardless of all races, nationalities, languages, and economic classes. It's easy when you're in one building, but it's not as easy. It's not as common when you're in different buildings by different leaderships, different pastors, different styles of worship, different languages even. And it really reminds me of that sharing that happened in Acts 4. And we know that we've just actually, just last week was actually the Pentecost week, if I'm not mistaken. And I just feel, you know, in Acts 4, if I'd read it out, from verse 32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things they possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who had possessions of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Again, that is another amazing, beautiful picture of what the early church looked like. And if you go on to read in Acts, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit was upon the apostles. The power of the Spirit was working throughout, and people were coming to Christ so fast, so quickly. And we gather to this day when we seek the Lord and we ask in Pentecost for the Holy Spirit to pour out on us. And I wonder, you know, whether or not, and including myself, how much of this heart I'm actually capturing in my own walk in faith, in my own life, in what the early church used to do. Am I selling my possessions to bring that unity in place? Am I having this mindset? You know, I have to admit, I don't always have that. In fact, most of the time I'm thinking for myself. So as much as I'm preaching this, I'm preaching it to myself as well. You know, it just copying from an article. This comes from Charles Spurgeon, and he wrote this: structural unity can even work against true unity of the Spirit. We can perhaps see a purpose God has in prevailing a structural unity of the church right now to keep misdirected efforts of the church from fulfillment. But he says, it is not a desirable thing that all churches should melt into one and become one, for the complete fusion of all churches into one ecclesiastical corporation would inevitably produce another form of popery, since history teaches us that large ecclesiastical bodies grow more or less corrupt as a matter of course. Huge spiritual corporations are, as a whole, the strongholds of tyranny and the refuges of abuse, and it's only a matter of time when they shall break to pieces. And this is Charles Spurgeon, not me. And I feel that perhaps this is an important warning as well. It is not just a feel-good situation about the fact that different churches can come together and bond in unity. It's also a warning that there is a tendency, because of our humanness, our fleshness, our fleshliness, our sinfulness, to do the wrong things. And I think all of us have heard and witnessed, you know, churches, mostly large churches, if I recall, that where the leadership was corrupted, and as a result, you know, there was a, you know, a very sad kind of downfall or breakage in that church itself. So, I also just want to read from another part of Charles Spurgeon, and he says, you know, we are confident that this unity is found in Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. We want unity in the truth of God through the Spirit of God. This let us seek after. Let us live near to Christ, for this is the best way of promoting unity. Divisions in churches never begin with those full of love to the Savior. And if we remember, Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of this church, and we can build on top of Him, but we cannot replace the foundation. And I really feel that you know, if we were to think about outreach, if we were to think about supporting anyone, I think it's food for thought to think about how we can even serve sometimes, or even donate to the extent we can to the local churches. I say this for many good reasons. I think that it helps us witness to the non-Christian world that the church is united. The non-Christian world often sees the church as being hypocritical, not because we're necessarily divided, but sometimes it's also because of other reasons. But I think the most powerful witness that a Christian can have is not just by one individual, but also by the way different churches interact with one another. And I think it's a very powerful message when different churches are not looking after themselves, but they're also looking after one another. It's also a reflection of the sharing of resources like the early church did. You know, it's not just us sharing our resources with our own church. It's wider than that. It's this church or another church sharing resources with other churches. And I think that that honors God. And I think that we will see more of God as a result of that. It's the breaking down of barriers as well. It's the breaking down of language barriers, socioeconomic barriers. You know, it's allowing us to learn things from one another. And this happens in the secular world. You know, we change jobs sometimes because we want to learn new things. Staying in one place for too long is not good. Even as us, as Christians, we move sometimes from one church to another church because it's a season, sometimes we say, or sometimes we just want to move towards a different congregation because we want to learn new things as well in Christ. And I think it's very healthy for churches to do that. In fact, my friend was saying that they would also invite pastors to their church to preach. And even though it would, their English-speaking church and the pastor coming over was preaching in Cantonese, the power and conviction in which the gospel message was preached touched everyone in that congregation. And there were so many learnings that they could have from that as a result. I think that this is also a form of church planting. If you think about how large churches or churches create leadership for church planting outside, that is an amazing thing to do. But there's also an alternative way to think about it. There's a way of saying, how about supporting a church in another part of Hong Kong or another part of the city that is about to close because it just can't sustain itself? Those local churches, those so-called, grassroots churches, if you like, are in the best place to serve the local community in which they are placed. They are the ones who are there permanently. They are the ones who know the people. They are the ones who open up their doors for the children to come in, who get to know their families, who are constantly there, who speak the language, who live in the same area. They are the best place to do that. When we talk about outreach, we go there maybe once a week, every now and then. But what is the real impact? And again, I have to say, I am not criticizing how we're doing church. I'm not criticizing the leadership or anything. I just hope this is a reflection. This is food for thought about how we think about living out our faith. And perhaps there are opportunities to do both. Right. This is something for me, at least, a new way of thinking, a new way of considering spending my time. And I think it's so glorious to God. I think it's also another form of humility when we can say that it's not just about ourselves, it's also about other churches. This humility will keep every church in check, will keep every church in check and not grow proud. And I think there is a tendency to grow proud when church numbers increase, when, let's say, you have a new building, when you have fancy equipment and everything. I think there's a tendency for that. And serving other churches of different backgrounds can help foster a spirit of humility as well. And I think lastly, something which I'll repeat again is, we all know that we are living in the present and waiting on God to return, whether in our lifetime or in the future generation. And we know that this picture of Jesus Christ coming back down for his bride, the church, is also one of the most symbolic images that we see in the Bible. We are the bride of Christ, right? We are the bride of Christ. And for me, if I love God, I want Jesus to come down and see a beautiful bride. And he will. He will see a beautiful bride. And if we can do our part to make this bride including ourselves, even more beautiful, even more attractive, even more glorious for Him. You know, how about this? How about thinking about it in this way, where every single church is an extension of ourselves? You know, and I think perhaps I'm not saying anything new today, but I really felt in my heart the need to talk about this thing and the need to really consider how it's not just in the form of an app that we use once a year. It's not just in a form of a one-off kind of campaign where we fast for our city, but it is something that we bear in mind. And this example of one church in Hong Kong, at least as far as I know, actively seeking out and actively uniting and talking to churches of different backgrounds and even forming relationships with them, is something which really, really touched me. And I just felt a need to share with as many people as I could. So with that, let me close in prayer. Father God, I really thank You for just showing me this image, Lord. And I believe that it is Your Spirit that touched me that day. I pray that as I share this message, it is glorifying to You. It is not critical of anyone or anything, but it is really just a testimony of encouragement, a testimony of true unity of the church. And I pray, Lord, that You will continue to pour out Your Spirit in these amazing ways to create opportunities for us as individuals, for us as a congregation, to think about these things, to think ultimately how we can serve You better, to think ultimately how we can make us and the bride of Christ even more beautiful than when we first came to know You, God. So Lord, we lift these things up to You. We pray all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Far you carried me from beginning. that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. And all of my life, I will worship you. There wasn't a day by my side. There wasn't a day that you let me fall. In all of my life, your love has been true. In all of my life, I will worship you. Done. I will remember how far you've carried me from beginning till the end. You are faithful, faithful to the end. You're faithful to
continue our worship. We also turn our attention to the body of Christ, which also needs healing and prayer for. We pray for the members of our community suffering from cancer. We pray those going through chemo and radiation, and we lift them up. Lord, we just lift them up in your name, Lord. We lift the comfort, and we just pray for your spirit, God, to rest upon them. Pray for your angels to attend to them, Lord. We also pray for those of us and our friends and families who are suffering from illnesses and who also need to come to know Jesus. We pray that they will encounter Jesus in a personal way, that Jesus will reveal himself to them and heal them of their illness as well. We also pray for many of us who are suffering from other infirmities, big or small. We pray that God will remove these things, that God will restore arms, legs, necks, our whole bodies as how He intended us to function. Thank you. We also pray that those of us looking for jobs, Lord, that you will open the doors, that you will provide your manna from heaven, God. Lord, even in this time, we pray with faith, Lord, that you will provide, that you are our great provider, healer, and care. So, Lord, we just pray earnestly and seek you, Lord, as we work with our hands, with our minds that you have gifted us. We pray that you will bring us and bring those of us into places of work where we can continue to fulfill and work with our hands and provide. Lord Jesus, we humbly submit these things to you. We pray for open doors. We also turn our attention to the mission focus. We pray for the open doors to come for North Korea, something which has been on the heart of this church for a long time. We just pray and continue plugging away and seeking the Lord's direction for this. We pray for grounds to be softened and for other missional opportunities to come into other partnerships in Asia. And we also pray for protection for the persecuted churches in the Middle East and for our brothers and sisters there. We continue to pray, Lord, that you will send your angel armies to encamp around them and to protect them. We pray for the SB gatherings this weekend, for the migrant workers outreach. We pray for the Sunday service to come. Pray for SB kids as many families still continue to be at home. We just pray that there will be joy and just lots of bonding with the kids at home. We pray for the worship team that is practicing for the worship on Sunday. We pray that their worship will be impactful and spirit-filled. Pray for hospitality to continue in the heart of SP and the DNA of SP. Pray for the SP youth and spin and spill services and activities and all the meetings to come. We also lift up the house churches that are meeting this weekend, King's Court, Mawan, South Side, and West Side. We pray that they will have amazing fellowship. We pray for vulnerability. We pray for refresher of the sermon from last week for them. And we also continue our prayers for Hong Kong. We pray for our home, our city. We pray that you will, Lord, you will reign supreme and you will reign overall in Hong Kong, God, that it is your kingdom that will be established as the churches of Hong Kong unite and continue to pray for Hong Kong. So, Lord, we pray for healing. We pray against the orphan spirit of Hong Kong. And we pray that your spirit will come in and fulfill the emptiness and the desperation, Lord. It is you that we need, and it is you that we cling on to. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.